You're listening to Radio Pulpit 657 AM, the time 25 minutes to 9 o'clock. So, Child Protection Hotline will be having a strongman event. That's at South Down College in Centurion on the 19th of September. This event will be a world record attempt where Donnie will be pulling the Radio Pulpit vehicle with us in it over a distance of 900 meters, setting a world record. So, we've got Donnie van Lochrenberg in studio, founder and CEO of Child Protection Hotline, as well as Dana Rowland, who is the COO, the one who does the work, you see, of Child Protection Hotline. Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. We are well, thanks. How are you doing?
No, I'm not bored. No, life is good. Life is good, definitely. Let's start off with you, Donnie. You got to introduce yourself because it's normal people doing the work, you see. Who's the guy at home before you put on the makeup?
My name is Donnie, surname van Lochrenberg, and I've been in child protection for the last 14 years, and that's as good a summary as it is.
Family!
I'm a dad, single dad, I don't know if that's important. That's where my love for children comes from, and I like any normal South African guy, like rugby, like sports, and like being strong. I mean, that's part and parcel of why we're here as well, so...
Yeah. He likes being strong because he is so strong. We're going to get to that just now. Dana, I want to ask you to describe Donnie's personality. Someone who hasn't met him before.
Oh, that's interesting. He's very quiet. He's very shy, quiet.
Really?
No, I'm joking.
You're not allowed to lie on a Christian station. That's very lilic.
He does not keep quiet. I think he definitely stands out in a room because he's always that one that's extroverted, talkative, okay. Trying to obviously solve problems all the time. But if there's ever a person that doesn't stress, it would be Donnie. He doesn't stress, ever.
That helps for us ladies. Many times we'll do the stressing for them.
Yes.
Worry wards and everything. Okay, so let's introduce you.
So I am Dana. I, as you mentioned, am the COO, the one that does all the gelling of everything in our organization. So I run our mental health department and basically ensure that the children out there are receiving mental health care if they need it. A little bit about me. I don't have kids, but I will kill for them.
Okay. In a Christian safe fashion and all.
Yes. Apologies. But yes, I don't have kids of my own, but I wake up every day to protect those out there.
Why are you involved with this? How did you get involved?
I volunteered at the National Center for Child Protection, and then I was offered a position that took 6 months for me to actually accept.
Now tell me why. Why did you even volunteer in the first place?
I feel that I needed to complete my counseling hours and get my practical experience. And
so this was something you studied and you want to go in that direction?
Yes, definitely. So I studied psychology and then specialized in counseling. And I'm fortunate to have been placed with the organization because it exposed me to a lot and it really opened up my mind to what is out there. And I feel background on me going through things in primary school of being bullied and targeted and, you know, not knowing what to do and not having someone to lean on, that really then pushed me a little bit more to make a difference in the lives of children.
We're going to get back to that because I'm curious about that some more. But Donnie, you founded this organization. Why the passion?
So I wanted to be a few things when I grew up. Springbok rugby captain was one. Superman was one.
Morse.
James Bond was one. And then I wanted to be a dominie. And I think the one thing through all of them is the ability to inspire and the ability to make change. And the ability to sometimes stand alone, I think, even when everything else is completely different. So that's always been my passion since I was very, very young. And I've always been that guy. So I'm actually an introvert, but my job expects me to be an extrovert, which I think I then do well. But people that know me as a friend would be shocked to see me doing my job.
Are you the quiet one at the braai?
Yes, because
leave me alone.
Yes, and I also I don't want to talk about when I was 12 years old, how far I ran to score a try and stuff. Those things don't inspire me or get me excited. But because of that, I've always wanted to make a change. And then, unfortunately, I had to go through divorce. Mm. And in that process, fighting to stay relevant and stay in my children's lives, decided to make the switch to work in child protection. And my kids are back, so that's obviously important. And yeah, and so it's personal for me, and I think that's part and partial of why we fight so hard. It's very personal. When I see children being hurt, I take it personal.
The thing is, it's doable to start something, but to go on doing it and keeping your passion in the face of so many challenges and so many ones that you can't help, doesn't that break your heart?
It does not. I think the most important thing I had to realize, and I had to be ready to do this. I mean, we turned 14 now in September. We had our 14th birthday now somewhere. We'll celebrate it still. Is that it's not about me. And I think that to me is the one thing that continues to inspire me, is that it's so much bigger than me. And I know the day that I say, Lord, I can't do this anymore, somebody else will be able to take over. And I think that is what keeps me going. It's not about me. I'm only playing my role, and I'm playing my role to the best of my ability. I'm having my Daniel moment, my David moment, my Noah moment. And when that moment is done, somebody else will be able to take that further. And that puts absolutely no pressure on me.
Yeah.
It's not about me.
Because you're fulfilling where you're supposed to be and only doing that well.
100%. And you just said the word, well, I've got this recurring dream. And I mean, I'm happy to share. For the last probably 10 years of my life, I have this recurring dream where I'm standing at a well and Jesus passes with the disciples. And every single day he looks at me and he says, are you coming or are you staying? and that to me, because I don't see in pictures. Mm. I see in words. And that's probably why I speak so much. But that's the one picture I see daily. And that is so inspiring every single day, because it's a choice to make every single day.
But what you do, Dana, I mean, you study psychology. So obviously you wanted to help them personally on a one-on-one level. Do you get that opportunity? Because the CEO has got the paperwork and has got to make stuff work. Yeah.
I think between Dani and myself, we probably do the workload of about 20-plus individuals. And I do feel that I do get that opportunity to have the one-on-one with the children. You know, after our educational talks, they have the opportunity to stay behind and speak to one of us. And that one-on-one opportunity is amazing. And then I have the opportunity to further that and then guide the volunteers and students that we have as well to, you know, guide them in their abilities to have one-on-one sessions with children to help them.
Okay, explain to me, how does this work? Someone who's never been in contact with the Child Protection Hotline, what do you do every day and how do you do it?
So we visit a number of schools. So we speak to a lot of children. I mean, when we leave here, we're on our way to a school. And we speak to the kids. We speak to them about relevant topics. We speak to them on their level. And I think that's important. One of the things that we miss is if you continuously tell a child, for example, there's no bullying in our school, where's the child going to report bullying?
Exactly.
There's no bullying. Mm. And that's one of the problems we have specifically, for example, at Afrikaans schools, is that that's the kind of motto of the brand is more important than the child. So we don't have any problems. I've sat with many a principal who said to me, we actually have zero problems. I said, okay, great. 7 of your girls currently have contemplated suicide. These are their messages for help. How can we assist them through your school setup? And they don't
back down. And you know this because they have the contact. Details. Okay.
So now we then share our contact details, and we also try our level best when we've got the opportunity to market that. And then people reach out and they literally report to us, listen, this is happening. I saw my neighbors beating their child. I'm a teacher at school. I'm a neighbor. These kids have never gone to school, etc. And then once they report that, we actually just channel that information that we receive into the correct channel so that the correct authority knows about that. So if, for example, so somebody will call us and say, I phoned 10111, I didn't get help for whatever reason, and then we can assist them back into the correct channel so that the children can receive assistance. Biggest concern is always if a child asks for assistance and nobody helps that child, that child continues to be abused.
Exactly.
And that's a problem. So we cannot allow kids to go there. So, and I think that's what the Lord had to do with me as well, is I wanted to be Superman, and he had to make me realize I'm not Superman. because then it would be about me and what I can do and so forth. So it's all about, we need to help them, but it can never ever become a thing of, wow. Otherwise I would have called it Donnie Helps Kids. And that was, I think, the journey I had to go through before I could start this. And I think my Abraham Isaac moment was when my kids, my ex-wife disappeared with our kids. And I one day had to go and say, okay, Lord, it's actually not my kids. It's your kids. Mm. And then he brought them back. And I was like, okay, I've known this is real because, I mean, I've been a Christian my entire life, but I see miracles daily. And that's why it's not about me.
Yeah. Okay. So that realization that you can only do so much, but what you can do, God's given you to do, so it's enough, is a big one. It's a big one, even in an organization like yours. But he was saying now about people saying they're seeing something, but you've also got counseling. How does this work?
Yes. So we offer free counseling, you know, to the learners at schools. But we also then have a counseling hotline partnered with you, surprisingly, with IMU.
What's so surprising about that? It makes 100% sense to me. Donnie's falling off his chair on this side. Okay. So in partnership, yes.
Yes. Yes. So I say surprisingly because there's so many people out there that say, oh, but you're partnering with a radio station. Why? And it's because you guys actually care. Mm-hmm. I think that's what makes it important is you care so much about your listeners and about the community and people out there that you decided to contact us and say, hey, listen, we want to make a difference. How can we do that? So we offer free counseling services, not only to the youth, but to the greater public as well. And it's as easy as sending a WhatsApp and then requesting for counseling services, and we then get in touch, we arrange a counselor, and it's as easy as that.
Okay, so it's not a phone call and someone answers and starts counseling you. There is a little process.
Yes. So the little process that follows is they have to send a WhatsApp message. They can phone, and then they'll obviously be assisted and guided from there. But the counseling session won't take place over a call. So they first need to complete an intake form, which provides the counselor with the information that they need. So things such as, you know, have they previously received help from a psychologist or counselor before? You know, you build trust with one individual, and it's a little bit more challenging to open up to a second. So we need to evaluate, are they able to go back to the first person that initially established that trust? Mm. Or do we need to pass that trust over to another counselor now? We also ask on that intake form things like, have they been diagnosed with anything? Because if someone is diagnosed, let's say, for instance, with a personality or a mental disorder of some sort, we'd then rather refer them to a psychologist, you know, specializing in that field. Because, you know, a counselor can only go so far. And it's like going to your normal GP. If you've got, for instance, a skin rash or you are suffering with a heart condition, you're not going to go to your GP. You'll go there first, but then your GP is going to say, you know what, this is a little bit out of my scope. I need to refer you to someone specializing in this kind of condition. And they refer you onwards. I think it's important for everyone to realize their strengths and their weaknesses. And we can't all be strong in everything that we do.
Work with what you've got.
Yes.
Definitely. And then they call them back.
Yes.
So what if the call that they call them back is now when they're, in, you know, right there with the person who they're trying to get away from? I mean, I'm just putting myself in the shoes of someone. You must have interesting complications to this job of yours.
Yes. I mean, we had it recently, actually, where a young girl wanted free counseling, but her parents watch her search history, and her parents are unfortunately abusing her. So in this case, she can't just go and search for free counseling or have a session online. She needs to find an alternative. So in that case, we need to then guide the school. We need to then inform the school, if there is a learner who needs a free online counseling session, please can you arrange a classroom of some sort? Let the child stay behind after school. Mm-hmm. Let the child inform their parents that they've got sport or they need to go and attend to something. For instance, extra math lesson. Allow them that opportunity to make a plan to get the help that they need, as opposed to limiting them because, okay, mom and dad are the perpetrators, now we must just leave it as that.
So it's very important that the kids at the school get the message that if they need help, it's there, and it's somehow done anonymously enough that it takes away the risk of exposure. Wow, life is interesting. I'm sure that the strongman events that you do, half of it, three quarters of it must be to have people be aware of what's going on.
Well, again, exactly that. So it's because it's not about me. It's all about visualizing or symbolizing the fact that whatever is too heavy for you to carry, to pull, we can do it for you.
Don't need the strong man. Okay, tell me what's happening.
Okay, so on the 19th of September, that's next week, Thursday, we are at South Downs College, and we're going to pull a vehicle. I've pulled quite a number of vehicles in my life, and then originally the plan was to pull it for 900 meters, but we don't have enough level space to do that. So now we're going to sit down, I'm going to put one arm behind my back, and I'm going to pull that vehicle with only my one arm.
Yes, Molo. In the nicest way I can say this. What's the heaviest one you've done before?
The heaviest I've done with a single arm, 9 tons.
Okay, so it's fine. So if you said 10 listeners in a car, and how heavy is the car?
No, I think that your vehicle can't be more than probably 2 or 3 tons.
Well, it's just clean. And so must we organize you small listeners, or can you do the big one?
I've got a few ideas, actually, but we'll chat about that next week. Now, I was thinking if it's too light, we'll do a second one where we'll add the school's vehicle at the back, and I'll put 2 vehicles at the same time.
Just for a little bit, just to make it a little harder for Donnie.
Well, we have the radio there.
So what does this make this event so unique that it'll have the impact you need?
Well, a lot of things that we do, I pray a lot, and I always kind of, because I don't see in pictures, when I see a picture, I know it's not from me, and it's not my mind. So we actually sat in the office one day, and we worked with a school for children with cerebral palsy. And I've pulled vehicles and stuff before, and I've done other things. And then we joked about it, and we said, but how do we symbolize a child in a wheelchair? We take away my legs. And then Dana said, you think you'd be able to do it? I said, I wouldn't know. So we went and we hooked up a car, and I pulled it uphill, because that's the only way we had. And I pulled it uphill, and I was like, I can actually do this.
How do you do it without legs?
You sit on your buttocks.
But how do you go forward?
I don't have to. You literally sit and then you pull the vehicle towards you.
Oh, you're sitting on one spot. Okay. I thought you were moving forward with your body. No, I had the wrong picture going. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I sat and we did that, and then we looked at each other and said, well now you're just going to do it differently. And that started, and then we did it. Went back to the school with kids with cerebral palsy, pulled their vehicle on my own, and then got those kids, got an extra long rope, and they pulled it with me in their wheelchairs.
That's which makes them feel empowered.
Yes, and they were making muscles and stuff, and we've done that at quite a few schools then with kids with disabilities. We've done it at other schools as well. And then seeing the way that they, in a moment when people should think they should feel weakness, they feel strong. And so that, number one. And then number two, I always feel we've got these great things that happens, and then we don't actually share the symbolism. This is now the first time that we're actually going to share the symbolism outside of the school we're at. So, for example, the school we're going to now, I've pulled vehicles there before, and they allowed their kids to write on a letter what hurts them. They put it in the vehicle, and then I pulled the vehicle, and then those kids felt like dad hitting them, mom and dad being drunk every day. All of those things I pulled from them, and they're no longer having to carry that alone, because we have to carry each other's burdens. That is
it's biblical.
That is what we need to do.
You are not alone. Okay, listeners, we need 10. We need 10 people to get into that vehicle to be pulled by Donnie. Yeah. So this is how it's going to happen. You need a WhatsApp or Telegram, your smartphone, you see, and you're going to send me the word passenger. I don't mind if you can't spell it. If I can make out that passenger is what your heart meant, it'll work for you. Passenger, followed by your name and your surname. You're going to WhatsApp or Telegram that to 082-657-2729. Now, we don't believe in luck, so it's going to be the first 10. The first 10 people who send me the word passenger, spelled however your little heart desires, followed by your name and your surname, to the WhatsApp number 082-657-2729. You're going to be there. That's if you can make it. Now, you need to be at South Downs College in Centurion on the 19th of September. Do you know the time?
We're going to start at 9 o'clock. So any time from about 8:30 would be amazing.
Okay, lucky. Then we're going to get in there, take lots of photos, do a video, put it on Facebook. You're going to be part of lots of fun. And it's for an amazing cause to let everybody know about the Child Protection Hotline. Donnie, speak to the country. If there's one thing on your heart that you wish these people would just know that would help, what would you say?
When you look at your most valuable earthly possessions, how you care for them, how you look after them, how you hide them, you lock them behind certain place, I don't know, safes, and all of that. If you're prepared to do that for earthly possessions, what are you prepared to do for your child? You're supposed to look after your child. We have to care for them. We have to guide them. We have to be there for them, even when they're teenagers. And we need to make sure that we are always their safe space. Thanks to the internet, thanks to social media, if we are not our children's safe space, our children go and find another space. And unfortunately, in most instances, those spaces use them, abuse them, and hurt them. Mm-hmm. And that's your choice. If you are going to allow your child to go somewhere else, you're going to get a broken child back, and you're going to see the signs of that for years and years to come. So bite the bullet sometimes. Speak to your kids. Be honest to them. Know that they make mistakes like you did when you were a child. And be their safe space where they can go, and like we go when we pray, and that's why we've got Psalms and we've got David, and you can say, I might not be very happy with you at the moment. I might not even like you a lot at this moment. But I need you, and I need you to be there. Because without you, I'm lost. And when I'm lost, anybody else can claim me. And that's why the world, unfortunately, is in the mess it is today.
Contact details for people. Where do they go if they need any kind of reference or all the information about you guys?
So we've made it very easy. If anyone wants to get in touch with us, that's for reporting anything of child-related abuse, neglect, and the rest. Or if someone needs counseling, they can go to www.childprotection.co.za, or even easier, I need help with no spaces in between .co.za. We've made that easier so that a child can reach out without having to remember a lengthy email address. We've also got the last one, which is www.children365.co.za.